Hello.
Yo, yo, yo.
I just want to start by saying this was the first day that we were ever supposed to start our podcast, and Anissa was late.
Guys, listen. This has never happened to me. If you know me, I do not normally do this. My alarm normally goes off, and I'm just on time all the time. But, you know, life was just like, just wake her up and just choose stress this morning.
Yes. So, yeah. No, really, though, that's actually not something she does. So I was, like, actually freaking out. I texted a friend, and she, like, tracked her for me. I didn't tell you that. And wait, I was like, Taylor, I was like, have you heard from her this morning? This is, like, so not normal. I'm like, is she good? Like, that's I was a little worried. Oh, did a murderer get... Oh my gosh.
No. Funny.
How fitting is that?
Very funny.
So, I'm Haley.
I am Anissa.
And we decided...
One time.
We typically are punctual, but we decided to start this podcast. Later you'll hear about my goal of why I started this podcast. And we're thinking about just switching off every week.
So next week I'm going to be taking the reins, and you'll hear about more of my goals. But yeah, let's get into Haley's.
Heck yeah. All right, so before we start getting into the actual case of Chris Watts, I wanted to kind of just tell everyone listening what my goal is of starting this podcast. I have loved listening to murder podcasts. I love watching documentaries. Basically, anything that has to do with murders is something I'm interested in, which sounds crazy, but honestly, if you're here listening, then you probably get it. My focus is to present the facts of the case and not just my opinion, so it'll be clear when I present my opinion, but like I said, everything will be coming from actual sources and things like that. And then I want to sort of just talk about the background of the individual who committed these horrific crimes. I have a degree in psychology, and in the past few years, I've loved getting to learn a ton about body language and just learning about why people do what they do. So my goal whenever I present these cases is to just really figure out the murderer's motive and how they end up doing what they did.
All right, so that was Haley, and like I said previously, on the next episode, I'm going to be taking the rails, and you'll hear more about my goals for doing this podcast and being a part of it. But, you know, on that note, everyone grab your glass of wine and get ready to hear some true crime.
All right, so we're going to start the case of Christopher Watts. Have you ever heard about this case before?
I have never heard about Christopher Watts.
Okay,
before.
This is kind of great. So you will just hear it from me. This is a case that happened in 2018. So
it's pretty recent.
Yeah, no, it's kind of crazy to think about, because I feel like a lot of times you do hear about things happening like in the
90s or something like that, like with all the serial killers. Yeah,
exactly. So kind of scary, but so he was 33 at the time, and he has a wife, and her name is Shanann. And in 2010 he friended her on Facebook, so they had like never met until he had friended her on Facebook.
You know what they say about those online dating.
Ooh, and it's becoming more common too.
Yeah.
It's kind of, I don't know. You do you, but I don't know. Sometimes it's sketch. And then they got married in 2012. So they were together for 8 years and then married for six. And then they got married November 2012. Like I said, they were married in 2012. But and then they moved to Colorado in the few years of them like being married. So like they got married in North Carolina and then moved to Colorado. So they ended up having their first daughter in 2013. Her name is Bella. So she was 4 years old in 2018. And then they had their second daughter in 2015. Her name was Celeste, but they call her Cece. Super cute. They're really cute girls. I looked up pictures. So cute.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah. And then they moved to Frederick, Colorado. So that's just kind of a background on like how their family sort of started and then just all that stuff. And then something kind of just important to note was that I found that they filed for bankruptcy in 2015. So it was
did
like,
I never see like how they got there.
What?
How they got to bankruptcy.
It was basically a bunch of different stuff. It was like mortgages. It was like student loans. There was just like a bunch of things that they just didn't pay off. And it was $448,000 in
debt.
Dang,
wow.
Yes, like it was like a certain, it was like really bad. So Yeah, that's like a huge thing for them, just to kind of keep in mind throughout this. And Chris also, he worked at an oil and gas company and a Darko, I don't know how to say that, petroleum corporation as like an operator. So a lot of times he went to the field where like they had like the oil and like tanks and everything. Mm-hmm. And then other times he was like in the office. He would have to stop by every so often in the week and go there. So that's a little bit about him. And then Shanann, she was... she worked for like a direct sales company called Thrive. So that, yeah, I know, right? I'm like, and so she worked from home. And something, I got a lot of this like stuff from this documentary from Netflix. If you guys haven't seen it, you totally should. That's where I got a lot of it, because there's like actual live videos from like policemen, like with their body cams and stuff. But you can see on the American Murderer, The Family Next Door is what it's called. That Shanann was very active on, like, Facebook, like, specifically.
Was she, like, one of those Facebook moms? Even yes. though, like, it's 2003 or 2004 up to that point.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know if moms were on social media as often as they were
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I don't either. I think that she...
You know, I can see with the name Shanann. Yes. She'd be very active on Facebook.
Soccer mom style. Ooh.
She does.
Yes. So, yeah, she posted a lot of videos, too. Like, it wasn't just, like, pictures and updates. Like, it
of her, like, kids and
yes,
stuff?
Yes, like,
okay.
Chris interacting with the kids, her and the kids, just the girls together, just doing everyday things. And so... In one of her live Facebook videos, she shares a story about how she had went through a really bad divorce. So before marrying Chris, she had been previously married with no kids or anything. And it was a really bad divorce. She said that she was super insecure and all these things, and then met Chris. And then this was a quote from the documentary from Netflix that she said, quote, "Went through one of the hardest times of my life, and then I met Chris." So I think
Chris
that...
Chris coming in to save the day.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. So, yeah, basically, that is kind of what it looks like, a day in the life, like, you know, what they kind of did, went to work, came home, hung out with the kids and the fam in Colorado.
So it seems like pretty much a normal kind of family.
Yeah, like
you know?
Your American
the
white
American
picket
dream,
fence,
right?
Fence. Yeah, exactly. American dream. We know that's so real. Okay, so now let's get into the thicket. I don't really know what you say. The thickness of this case.
The core. The thickness.
The core.
You said the thicket.
Yeah, the core sounds way better. Thank you. So this is August 13th, 2018.
Set the scene.
Yes. So Nicole Adkins, it starts off in the documentary at least with Nicole Adkins calling the police saying that she was worried about Shanann. So... prior to this, Shanann and Nicole, who they're coworkers,
okay.
They were on a business trip, and Nicole had dropped Shanann off because they had like a delayed flight. So Nicole dropped Shanann off at her house about 2 a.m., and then that next morning, Shanann had a doctor's appointment because she was 15 weeks pregnant. So she had a doctor's appointment for like a checkup and everything, and Nicole hadn't heard from her, which was like not super like normal. Mm-hmm. So that's when she was kind of worried, because she's like, I just saw her at 2 a.m. dropped her off, she's supposed to be up and at her appointment. So I think she was super worried and had went to her house, and no one came to the door, but like she heard the dog barking, but like nothing, like she wasn't home, and she was like her car was there, like it was just very weird.
Yeah.
So this is obviously not normal. And then this friend, being a great friend that she has, called the cops. So basically, the cops show up, kind of just think that maybe, you know, what if she had passed out? What if something, she's inside, but she just isn't able to be like reached. So the cops are kind of just thinking, okay, how do we just get in the house? So they call the homeowner, which is Chris, and they're like, we just need permission to get inside. So they waited for Chris to get there, because, you know, they can't just go in without permission.
Yeah.
So they were like walking around the house. You saw like in the documentary, like, knocking on windows, just being like, Shanann, are you in there? Like, just thinking it's like some sort of just accident or
it
something.
It showed like all this, like in the video and mm-hmm. the documentary.
Yes, okay. Yes. And then that's why I was saying it was helpful, because they had like the body cams, so mm-hmm. you can see them doing this.
Okay.
So yeah, basically then Chris shows up, and Nicole is off on the phone like the whole time. You see like she's just frantic. She's, and this just goes to show too, like, obviously, like, same with you this morning, like, when a friend, like, when you know exactly how they live their life, how they do things, like, obviously, for somebody to be so freaked out like that, it's like, this was probably not normal for her not to yeah. reach out to her friends. Like I said,
Even just a coworker, because exactly. Like when you're with your coworkers, they become accustomed to you, like,
yeah,
how you like move and like mm-hmm. what your like lifestyle is and like your characteristics and right. your behaviors and stuff like that.
Exactly. And so it was weird then, because obviously this is very off. And so she's like on the phone calling different people, all these things. And Chris shows up, like I said. So he lets the cops into the house, gives them permission, whatever.
Did it ever say like where Chris was? Was he at like work
or something? He was at work. Okay. Yes. Yes. So he's like not really concerned.
He's
like
not looking. Concerned.
So like I like mentioned, like you see Nicole freaking out, calling different people. She's like my friend, like she's got this medicine. She has lupus. Shanann has lupus, and okay. so she has medicine she takes. They found her purse in the house along with her medicine and her keys, all these things.
So Chris is not concerned.
No.
He's the husband.
Yep.
And what was the girl's name, the friend's name?
Nicole.
Nicole is here being friend. That makes no sense.
Yes, yes.
That's kind of sketchy off
Pretty
the bat.
Pretty weird, yeah. You know? Just because, like, even if you know how it ends or not, it's, like, it's weird. So he... Basically, he's not asking. I wrote like in my notes, like he doesn't seem concerned and he doesn't really ask questions. Like he's not like what's up? Like what are you, Nicole? Hey, like, and maybe they didn't show that, but it also just felt like he was just kind of walking around the house. He wasn't like doing anything.
Like
he was
looking.
Just walking okay. around. Like he was just, I don't know. It was like he was just pacing.
Oh, okay.
He wasn't really like looking or on his phone either, or like, I don't know. So then he noticed that her wedding rings were still there. So he showed the cops that the wedding rings were there, so she had left them. And then...
So she's not in the house?
No.
Oh.
So all of her stuff is there, but she's not there and the girls aren't there. Bella and Cece.
Yeah.
So, weird. And then the cop's like, okay, so now that we know she's not passed out in the house, where is she? Where would she go? Does she have friends that she goes to their house? So would someone come pick her up because her car's here? So, like, did someone come pick her up or... take her somewhere? And he's like, I mean, not really. I mean, there's not many people that I can think of that would, she would go to their house and stuff. Like, and Nicole was like, kind of like, yeah, no, I don't really know.
I feel like she would have told Nicole if, like, exactly. someone was going, because she just saw her at 2 a.m. that morning, you know?
Exactly, so. Exactly. So that's why it was just kind of weird. And so then, like I said, Chris notices, like, all the, like, that her wedding rings are there, her medicine, purse, everything is still there. And then he notices that the girl's blankets are gone. So, like... Cece and Bella sleep with these blankets, you know, like every little girl, you know, yeah. like you have your, like your thing. He noticed that the blankets were gone. And so that's kind of all. The police start to just kind of search around and just looking around the house still. And then they actually go next door to a next door neighbor who has cameras outside of his house. And
that's pretty convenient.
Yes, mm-hmm. it is. And it kind of shows a little bit of like Chris's driveway a little bit to see if maybe someone had come to pick her up, to try to see if they could see anything from the street view. And so he's got it pulled up, like this video from his cameras pulled up on his TV. And so they're kind of looking at it. You can see from the policeman's body cam, he's facing directly at the TV. And then Chris is kind of on his left. But I mean, really, while this video is playing, Chris is at one point. So like I said, I'm big on body language.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even before I even watched body language videos about this man, I noticed right away he had his whole back turned to the TV when the video was on. Like, wasn't looking at the...
He wasn't watching the video while they were watching...
Yeah.
For what?
I was like, wow. Like, I noticed right off the bat, I'm like, that just shows, like, disengagement.
Yeah.
It shows either, like, he's...
non-concerned at all about like, where your
like,
wife is.
Completely not... He's trying to, like, almost distance himself, it looked like, in my opinion. And so his whole back was turned. And then when he wasn't... turning his back, he was just like on his phone, but it didn't look like he was frantically texting. It didn't look like he was like, you know, like doing what like Nicole was kind of doing.
Yeah.
It was more of just like browsing, sort of like from just looking at his fingers, and I couldn't see what he was doing on his phone, but it just didn't, he looked like he was just trying to disengage completely.
Mm-hmm.
Suspicious again.
Very
so
suspicious.
Basically Chris heads out and the cop's like, all right, let me know if you hear of anything, you know, we'll be looking, we got everybody on it, whatever. And he's like, okay. So he leaves the house, the neighbor's house, and then the neighbor, he's like this dude and his son's there and everything. The neighbor says to the cop, quote, he's not acting right at all.
So the neighbor like could tell that, yes, Chris was acting weird.
Yes. And the cop says no, like no question mark. And then the neighbor says, he's never fidgety, he's never rocking back and forth, and if you look, and then he points, like, at the TV, he's like, he never loads his stuff in and out of the garage. So he had his truck parked in the driveway.
Okay.
And he's at, like, in the early in the morning, because he leaves early for work and stuff. But he was loading things. He was going back and forth from his truck to the garage. And he's like, he never loads stuff, like, in the morning. He's like, it just doesn't happen. So the neighbor was suspicious and basically was just kept saying, like, he's normally quiet. He's not super talkative. This is weird.
Uh-huh. So, like, was Nicole, did she notice any of this? Because, like,
it never really said. Like, she never really fully said. I mean, they questioned her about, like, their relationship later on, like, Shanann and Chris's. But she never really says anything. It's mostly just she calls the cops. That's all it really had her doing. And then you just see her a lot in the background. Okay. But not really much talking after that. But no, it's weird that the neighbor notices this. So interesting. And yeah, so there's that. And like I said, basically he already has like these weird tendencies. And also though, you want to note that everybody acts different in these situations. I think like it's normal for somebody to burst out into tears and lose their mind, or it's normal for people to try to bottle it up and do whatever they can to just figure it out and not cry and not, you know, everybody acts different in these situations.
Yeah, but you would think if you're like, it was your spouse or something, that you'd be like having some concern or sense of urgency to, and your kids.
Yes.
Like your kids are missing.
Yes, like
too.
The three most important people in your entire
that
life
that you see every single
that you
day
think should be the most important people in your entire life are gone, and like no trace, nothing. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I wouldn't be turning my back to the TV. I'd be looking at the TV saying, who came and got my, who stole my people?
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Like these are my people. Mm-hmm. So I think that while everybody acts different, obviously this is very concerning because it just seems very disengaged, not concerned in a loving way to me. After this, they start to do interviews, and right after, I mean, he finds out that his family is missing, Chris is immediately doing interviews, which, again,
like in the police station, like just asking questions?
Well, like a news interview. So, like,
oh,
they come to his
okay.
house, and he's like, yeah, yeah, let me tell you, like,
it
whatever.
It just blows up?
Yeah.
Like them being gone?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and he's, like, feeding into it, which, again, if you want to find your family, sure, do as many TV. I would do interviews. I would be throwing my name out. I'm like, where's my family?
Was he, like, feeding into it where he was just trying to get, like, some TV time, did it seem like? Because he wasn't as concerned when the cops were there, but now that the cameras are there, is he becoming, like, more concerned? Are you
kind of
seeing that? Okay.
He's faking concerned because this is another thing that I said, like, was going to bring up about body language and everything. People call it different things, but it's like dupers, but I call it duping delight, which is basically, so after his like first interview, he was standing on his porch and being interviewed by this like news person about his family, just like what was happening, everything. And duping delight is basically when you're talking about something that you shouldn't be smiling about. So like, obviously this is like the worst thing to ever happen to anybody. Like,
you're,
I mean,
telling me
traumatizing.
He was smiling.
And the corners of his mouth were curved up in almost like a grin. Like when he was talking, he was like, I just want my family back. And it's hard to even do. I'm trying to do it right now, like to Anissa. Like, I'm trying to smile and do it, but how do you smile when you're like, where's my family? Like, I
like
just
in a sense of concern and urgency.
Yeah.
You're not smiling. Like, you're just happy that they're gone. But, like,
yeah.
I hope they come back. Like,
yeah.
Kind of
and
thing.
You guys, go look. I mean, literally, it is there and you will see it. And it's not my opinion. It's the truth, because he is smiling/grinning in this. And it's alarming because it's like
it just like be instantly alarming.
Yeah. And like duping delight is like basically it's a point of when you're smiling because you think that you've manipulated somebody or played something off or typically you see it when someone's lying. I've watched a lot of things with, I don't know if you guys know of like Jeanine Driver, but she's used to work for, I think the FBI or CIA. I can't remember. And I watch a lot of her YouTube videos about lying and how you catch people in lies. And that is a number one thing because it's like, that's so weird. Like that is so strange to see somebody smiling in this situation.
Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, and he's crossing his arms in this interview, which, you know, we know signals kind of either closing off or whatever. I cross my arms all the time. I think it's comfy, or if it's cold out, like whatever. So I hate when people are like, they're crossing their arms. But along with the duping delight, crossing arms, it's almost like a self-hug. Like he's like isolating sort of. He's like closing off. Just it's weird to add on to that. It's like body language isn't like a exact science. So, and I just wanted to include that, but it is something that when you're an expert at it and there's a bunch of factors involved, like nonverbal language,
it can be a tell-all.
Yes, I mean, it, you can really, through a bunch of different things, it's like if you just cross your arms, that can't tell you just everything. Mm-hmm. But along with these other things that are happening, it just seems very strange. So basically there's that. So we get to that was all August 13th. So August 14th, this is the second day that his family is missing. The police call Chris for information on, like, the physical characteristics because they start to put flyers out. So they ask, like, height, weight, eye color, all those things. So they can go around and ask neighbors, show pictures, all these things. They brought the search dogs in to Chris's house, like the police did, just to, like, get sense of, like, their belongings so that they can try to go find them. You know how they, like, do scent work and everything. Yeah. And then the police, one of the policemen, which I couldn't get it. Oh, I think it was Officer Kate was her name. I don't remember her last name. But she noted that whenever the search dogs, like when they entered with the search dogs, that it immediately smelled like cleaning chemicals, which is very interesting.
That is very interesting.
Because why is this man cleaning, first of all? Because, I mean, unless you're a stress cleaner, but again, I would not be cleaning my house.
Feel like I've gotten a little bit of a sense of Chris, and he just doesn't seem like the kind of I'm just going to clean my house all day kind of guy.
No. He doesn't. And so later on, he was brought in for more questioning about his relationship with Shanann. So he ends up telling the, you know, because I think it's good to, no matter what, interview, like, somebody because, like, you're a significant other, they might be able to tell you more about them. And obviously, I think we all know that they kind of are, like, the suspect because they're so close to them.
Yeah.
So they wanted to get an idea of what their relationship was like. And he tells them that from 2 to 5 a.m., they had an argument. So 2 a.m., you know, is when she had gotten home. Shanann got home from the work trip. And Chris said that they had an argument about not having a spark anymore, and then
at 2 a.m. they had this argument.
Yes, and then
he was looking for a fight.
And yeah, and then about, like, separating. So yes, so that is what was being told on August 14th. But we're gonna go to 7 weeks earlier, and this is from the documentary. The backtrack. Information. Yes, so we're gonna backtrack to when Shanann and Bella and Cece went to North Carolina for 6 weeks. 6 weeks to visit their family and friends. So Shanann works from home, so she could probably take this and go and visit. And like I mentioned before, they moved to Colorado. They lived in North Carolina, so that's where all of their people are. And so it was around the summertime. I think it was in June and July when they did this, and that was, like, the perfect time for them. The girls are out of school to go visit friends and family for a while. So Chris didn't go because he works. So he didn't go until the last week that they were there, which was in July. So he met them there. But basically, Shanann and Chris's mom, so 7 weeks earlier, like I was saying, Shanann and Chris's mom got into a fight about 2 to 3 weeks into North Carolina.
About what?
Because Cindy, which is the grandma, bought ice cream containing everything that Cece was allergic to.
Oh.
So she, like, Cece, I guess, has a lot of allergies. Okay. And so you have to be very careful of, like, what you give her, because I guess it's, like, pretty bad. And Shanann was like, hey, like, that ice cream isn't good for Cece to have. Like, just don't make sure to not give her any of that, because that's not good, obviously. And then I guess she ended up giving it to her. And so basically that started a fight, because she was just like, why are you, they've already had, like, a strained relationship, Chris's family and Shanann, because the mom,
they never seemed to get along.
Yes, like, they never did. And so basically I think that they were just, like, not super they weren't excited that when Chris and Shanann got married that they moved to Colorado. So it was like Shanann took Chris away, and so I think they always had, like, this little strain against her for some reason.
Do they live in, like, different states? And mm-hmm, it's just okay.
Exactly. So, and it's kind of far. I don't know like how long it takes to get to North Carolina from Colorado, but, like, so I think they were just, like, sad about that. And then maybe their personalities just didn't, like, get along either. So basically Nicole and Mark, who is Chris's best friend, but remember, Nicole was, like, Shanann's kind of close friend, both reported that this ice cream incident obviously was brought up to both of them, because it was something that was, like, not good to happen. Like, they both knew about it.
Yeah.
And then Shanann was kicked out of the house after
out
the fight.
Out of whose house?
Out of Chris's parents' house.
What?
Because of the fight. And
because of the ice cream?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
And she didn't see his parents again, like, after, while she was there in North Carolina. She didn't go see them again.
Did she take the kids with her?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes. So, that's interesting. And then 5 weeks earlier, so this is, like, 2 weeks after, Shanann FaceTimes Chris, and he didn't answer, and he was making up, which to me is an excuse, that's my opinion. He said it went to his work phone instead, and so he didn't see it. And then Shanann didn't believe him because she was like, the whole time we've been here, you haven't called us once. I've had to call you. And this is like...
It's been 2 weeks.
Yeah, like this is... We've been here for a while, and why are you not making an effort to talk to us?
Yes.
Like even the girls. Like he wasn't
your
even trying...
Your kids.
Yeah, so she was just kind of sad because she was like, first of all, this whole thing with your mom. And then she's like, I feel like that puts a strain on, you know, a marriage when your family doesn't really like you, and then you're trying to like... be like, but our kid is literally allergic, and then the husband's not really backing you up. I don't know. It's just like, yeah. That sucks. And then he's not making any effort to call. And then he just keeps saying that he's sorry. He doesn't really say much. And then she just felt like, Shanann just felt like things were off. Like you can see this through text messages with Shanann and Nicole, how she's just worried that he's kind of acting different and just kind of distant. And she's like, the only time this has happened is right after we got married, which was when the parents were kind of just not super into them getting married.
I feel like they were like hover parents, and they're even like at the beginning of their relationship, were just willing to get like super involved. And like that's going to put like a huge just strain on the beginning of the relationship.
Oh, for sure.
That's why that happened.
Yeah. No, and they actually didn't even go to the wedding.
The parents didn't go to the wedding?
Yeah. Like, they did not. So, from the beginning, your
parents...
Chris's
parents, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
So, from the beginning, they're, like, not super into it. And you're like, that sucks. Like, I hate that.
How were Shanann's parents?
They never really say much, and I think that they were fine.
They were just chill?
Yeah.
Normal in-laws?
Yeah, I don't think that they ever... had a problem with Chris or anything.
Okay.
They knew that the girls loved him. They, you know, they even mentioned that, like, the girls loved him. And I just, but I think it was Chris's parents that were causing some problems.
Yeah.
Horrible to not have your parents go to the wedding either. I mean, I would feel so sad. And sure, there's certain circumstances and I can't understand everybody's situation. But if my parents didn't go to my wedding, I'm like, that
would be very upsetting.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So basically, that's how it went. And then, then they asked Chris about, they're asking him about, you know, their marriage, is how things were and everything. And he did mention that the mom and sister and, you know, kind of family just didn't really like that he moved away to Colorado. And that's basically kind of it. The cop does ask something, and they don't really touch on this anymore, but the cop kind of asks in a passive way if Chris has ever been cheating. Because he was like,
I mean, if you're gone for 2 weeks not calling your family or anything, that's kind of suspect.
Yes,
and implied.
Exactly. And he was like, he said, Chris, you know, I've noticed, man, you're a pretty fit man. He kind of says this in the documentary. He's like, you're a pretty fit guy. And, you know, I was looking at pictures, and Chris had admitted that he was 245 pounds, and he ended up losing a bunch of weight, and now he's 185 pounds.
Wow.
In just this short amount of time. And so, like, good for him, like, getting, you know, healthy, like, he feels good about his body, like, that's great. But a lot of times you see that when somebody's cheating, is, like, they get, like, the best version of themselves, and then they're working out a lot to be good, like, good and fit for this other person.
Yeah.
So that's basically how that went. And yeah. All right, so now it is August 15th, the third day that Chris's family is missing. The police call Chris back in, and he does a polygraph. So it's conducted by agent Tammy Lee, and there's a few different people who go in and kind of talk to him throughout this, but
polygraph is lie detector, right?
Yes.
Okay, I should know this.
No. I mean, that's typically what you hear is lie detector, but yeah. So, again, same thing with body language, not super an exact science, but...
So, they're making him do a polygraph test, so that means he might be kind of suspect. They're suspecting him.
They're getting suspicious.
Okay.
I would think so.
But, like, you just don't automatically just go to a polygraph test if you're the spouse. Like, that's not just an instant go-to. You're going to have to be suspicious.
No, that's a good point, because it's not, like, in the documentary either, like, or in the police reports that I read, like, I have also found, like, redacted documents from the police reports that they've, like, disclosed. And they never like say, we think he's guilty, you know, but I think that for sure, like from having so much communication with him and not really having any leads with anybody else, that does really make him a suspect. So that's why I think that the girl was like, okay, so just so you know, I would like for you to do a polygraph. And if you know anything, tell us. Like, if you feel like, she's like, because we'll know if you don't pass it.
Yeah.
And so kind of said it like that. And then she's like, so if you've done anything, if you know anything, you need
they're
to tell us.
They're pretty much calling him out right now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because she's like, because we'll know. And he was like, okay. So he decided to do the polygraph because that's who he is. Narcissist.
Does he think he can just pass
yes,
it?
Yes, he's literally, I'm not even kidding, disclosing he's a narcissist.
Yeah.
So the agents, it's literally wild. I wrote on the side of my notes, I said, this girl straight up knows she's in the room with someone who's involved, because they do this whole thing and he did not pass. Basically,
he didn't pass.
No, they asked him, what does he know? And then she's like sitting here on the computer, like looking at, like, I guess, like his levels and just how things change and knowing he's lying. And so she's asking him again and he says the same thing. He's like, I don't know anything. I know nothing, blah, blah, blah. And then basically he blames it on the fact that, so he comes out and says later that he did have an affair.
Oh.
/was
in those
having
2 weeks.
And for a while.
For a while he's been having an affair?
Yes. Okay. For a while. Like, I think it was, let's see, I think it started, July 2018. So not for a while. But, okay. I mean, kind of at least. I mean, when you're married.
I mean, like, and there was, like, 7 weeks prior we were talking about. There was that, like, 2 week split up where they didn't talk. So he must have been with that other woman.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly. And so, basically, she's like, he blamed it on that. He was like, you know, I think that it's because I was lying. Like, he talked to his dad later. They brought his dad in because he starts to freak out, sort of. And basically, he was just, like, he got quiet. Then it was kind of weird. Like, the girl came back in. She's like, I know that you know you did not pass because you're not being truthful with us. It says that you're not being truthful. So what aren't you telling us? And then he admits to the affair. And then blames on the fact that, like, the whole thing was screwed up because he was lying about the affair, which wasn't true. Because
no.
I'm like, I mean,
did they ask questions about the affair?
Yes,
like,
but that wasn't the whole thing. I mean, the most time they're asking about Shanann and the girls.
Like, yeah, and, like, if you're, okay, so you can lie about the affair and that's going to show up, but that doesn't mean, like, just because you're lying about the affair, it's going to be false for all the questions being asked.
Right, yeah. No, it was wild. And then it was just, like, funny because, like, after you know that he didn't pass it, you, like, I looked back on the polygraph again, like, the video when he's in the room and everything, and he's like, yeah, I'm just, like, a little nervous, sorry. And she's like, okay, I'm going to need you to take a breath, because she actually had to stop him and be like, I take a few deep breaths because, like, it's okay. Just tell me the truth and we'll be fine.
Yeah.
Like, she literally is, like, playing this man, and I'm like, oh my gosh,
she's playing.
So so basically that is what happened on the 15th. Like, that's the biggest thing. And like I said, not an exact science, but basically they can be used in court as evidence because this is a huge thing. I mean, it's been pretty accurate through these cases and stuff. And it always doesn't mean, like, if he wasn't being truthful, it doesn't mean that he's guilty and that he did something to them or he kidnapped them. Like, it doesn't mean anything, but it means that something was not being
he knows
truthful.
Something.
Yes.
He knows something.
He does, and he's not admitting it.
Yeah.
So then what we're going to kind of go back and talk about a little bit more about Shanann and they're like their like relationship. So I kind of had mentioned that there was text between Nicole and Shanann.
Mm-hmm.
Her mentioning to a few of her friends in text that he's not being intimate with her. He's acting different. This hasn't happened. And like the only time it has happened was after they got married. And so she was just noticing things were really different. But Chris always said that there was nothing wrong. Like that last week he went to North Carolina. When he met his family there and everything, he was just like acting normal with the girls and everything. But she even had text messages where she's like, he doesn't even want to have sex. Like, he's not into this at all. And this is like a quote from her, from Shanann in one of her texts when she gets suspicious that Chris might be cheating. When she says, quote, she had a typo in here, but quote, he's never been like this. 5.5 ducking weeks, no sex. That's what she says.
Wow.
Unless he was getting it elsewhere, like somewhere else. And then another quote, he's never shut me out like this. So, I mean, obviously she's noticing a change in his personality and in their relationship. And she has no idea. The only thing that she can think of is because of the parents and how she had a fight with his mom.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that she can think of.
For him to have the affair?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's like, so he's either cheating or it's because the parents and the strain, but like, has strained our relationship, but I don't know. Like, she was so confused. So Chris starts to break down. We're back in the polygraph. So Chris starts to kind of break down. He's kind of just being quiet, and then he's like, I just want to see my dad. I guess his dad flew in to come while he was like, what, through all this time when the family's missing. And he's like, I just want to see my dad, blah blah blah. So you're like, okay, if we bring your dad in, will you kind of talk to him about maybe what's going on? And then Ronnie is his dad's name. He was brought in and into the room, and so the people, like the police, and like left, and then Ronnie was sitting down with Chris, and they kind of sat there for a while, and then Ronnie asks questions about like trying to see if he knows anything, and he's like, you know, what happened to them, like where are they, do you have any idea, like all this stuff. And then eventually, which is really wild, Chris says, I don't want to protect her.
Chris says, I don't want to protect her.
Yes, that's all he says.
Protect and then what?
And then he's like, huh? Basically,
yeah, like what?
What do you mean? Like, say more. And so he basically was just saying that Shanann killed the girls.
What?
That he watched on the baby monitor. Well, he saw on the baby monitor that there was a blanket over one of the girls' heads.
What?
And that Shanann strangled her.
And he just says this out of the blue,
yes.
Like, just randomly just says, like, all right, this is what happened.
Yes.
Okay.
So, interesting.
Yeah.
So, the SA coder and then the agent, Tammy Lee, come back into the room. Like, the two people have kind of been with him throughout this whole interview sort of process. And then they start asking Chris, they're like, okay, where are they? Like, so we kind of got a little something. Like, he said that Shanann killed them, and then it's emphasized, he doesn't say till later, that then he killed her. Because she killed his daughters.
Oh, okay. So Chris is saying that he found out that Shanann killed the kids, and then Chris found out about that. So then that's why he killed Shanann.
Yes.
Okay.
So, but it's all kind of, you know how he was like, I don't want to protect her, all these things. Like, he's being very vague, so he doesn't come out and say directly. So it's kind of weird, but you're getting the vibe.
Okay.
And then eventually he says, like, I killed her because she killed my daughters.
Okay.
So then he just starts, I mean, literally just starts telling them everything. Like, he just admits to killing her, says that Shanann killed his daughters, all of that.
Okay.
And then they're like, Chris, they only had to ask him, I think, twice. They're like, where are they? And then she's like, can you just tell me where they are? So they brought a picture in because he was like, at the first site I went to that day. So remember, he works kind of in the oil and like a gas stuff. So he was on site that day where he went to one of the oil tanks. And they got a picture of, like, the first location, so where the oil tanks were, and then, like, an overview picture. And they were like, can you point to where, like, you don't have to say anything, can you point to where they are?
Mm-hmm.
And he pointed to the ground by an oil tank, and then he pointed at the tank.
He put them in the tank?
So.
What?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness, what?
Literally, yes.
The oil tank?
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, and this is just the most wild thing in the entire world, because I'm like, this guy has not shown any emotion this whole time. He's been disengaged, he's been smiling, he's been doing the most random crap, but he starts to just sob.
Starts crying.
Yes.
Oh,
just
my
starts
goodness.
Losing his mind.
Because, like, he's just been caught.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
And I'm like, now? I'm like, now it's almost to me, I'm just like, who in the world would, I mean, these people that were in there with him, like the officers, they were just like the agent girl, like she was like, or the agent girl, she was literally just like, I know, just tell us. And I'm like, how in the
what?
World, because she's trying to play like good cop, I feel like.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I could not.
No.
Bro, I couldn't. I'd be like, you murder. I would literally lose my mind. So yeah, that's what happened on the 15th of August.
Okay.
So yeah, and just remember that Shanann, I mean, so Shanann was buried in the ground.
Okay.
She was 14 to 15 weeks pregnant and knew
yeah,
that her
was.
Baby was a boy. Found the gender out.
Oh,
his
no.
name was Nico.
No.
And the two girls were in the oil tank.
Why would he put his kids in the oil tank?
Yeah, I don't know. And bury Shanann. I don't know. It's very, very
weird.
Yes. So he pointed to the bodies. They found them. So that's when August 16th, that's when they recovered Shenan. They did find the bodies where he said that they were. And remember how I mentioned the affair?
Yeah.
How? So this girl's name, we're going to have two Nicole, so it's kind of confusing. But
the other girl's name's Nicole?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Different person.
Okay.
Just want to keep that in mind. But so things start to get a little weird, and they call her Nikki, too. So I think I'll just kind of reference her Nikki, because that's what he calls her, even though I don't want to call her what he calls her, but whatever. So she had been seeing what was going on, and what I kind of wanted to know more about what Nikki knew. Like, yeah. what part did she play?
You know, Nikki has to know something. I feel like Nikki has to, like, the person in the affair, like, I feel like always has something to do with it. Just to protect the person they're having the affair with.
Or information she can provide. Because, what does she know? So, she worked also at the same place. You know how, like, Chris would go to the field, but he would also go into office. She worked in the office. In a different part, she basically worked at the same location, but she just didn't, like, work as an operator. I don't really know. Oh, a contract employee. So whatever that means in the oil field. But yeah, so she did not know that Chris initially had a wife or daughters. Like, he never mentioned it. But after they kind of had started a relationship, he told her that he had two daughters. And then she thought it was cute, is what they put in the police report.
Thought it was cute that he had two daughters.
Yeah. I'm like,
okay.
Yeah. And he never wore his wedding ring. She never saw a wedding ring. But then later, after, you know, mentioning and kind of getting closer to her, he mentioned that he was in the process of separating with his wife.
Okay.
Remember that fight was when they had initially talked about it the day that he killed his wife. So that was never mentioned. But she was like, from what I saw and heard from him, is that he was separating from his wife and he just had two daughters. So she's like, I mean, that's all I knew. And then when she started to see articles and things coming out when the girls and Shenan were missing, she was shocked when she found out that Shenan was pregnant. Because she was like, I thought for a while now you guys were, like, separated.
Yeah.
Like, or getting separated. Intimate. Yeah. So she was, like, starting to get worried. And this is a quote, grossed out by him and deleted his stuff and contacted authorities. So she kind of just was like, this is weird.
So Nicole is the one that, like, started getting really suspect, and that's why police are getting suspect?
Yes.
Okay.
So she actually went to the cops, and they don't have a specific date on here. I tried finding in the police report, but she went to them before they did the polygraph, so they knew about the affair.
Okay.
And that's why they questioned him.
Okay.
So they had already been like, okay, this is kind of weird. He lost a lot of weight. That's kind of a sign, and he's, you know, he's kind of like being distant from his family, blah, blah, blah. But now she had went to them and called them because she was grossed out and saw all this stuff, and she's like, whoa, 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 what the heck was I involved with? Because I didn't know.
Yeah.
And so they were kind of working with her, and they got a lot of information. She ended up giving her phone over to them, but saw that her and Chris both deleted a lot of text messages. So she even deleted text messages.
Why would she delete text messages?
I don't know. That's really sketch, huh?
Yeah.
But yeah, so, and then they even found in her Google search that she searched, quote, can cops trace text messages? And then another thing she searched was, how long do phone companies keep texts?
Oh my goodness, Nicole or Nikki, you're sounding very suspect right now.
Yep. And then they later found that Chris Watts, you know how you actually, I don't know much about this because I've never needed to look this up, but people can like get like apps that look like just a calculator or like a regular app on your phone, but it's like actually like something hidden in there.
Yeah.
Chris had like a calculator app on his phone where he put all the pictures and all the things. Like, he had semi-nude pictures of
Nicole
and like all their texts, and they took a trip together at one point.
Took a trip together?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
They went on a trip together, and they went out on a few dates, all this stuff. And like, yeah, so basically he hid all that in that part of his phone so that, you know, Shenan would never see. And that was just really weird. So the 16th is when they found the bodies, and then they had that first official interview with Nikki. So she kind of contacted them in the past, but they'd never actually had seen her or sat down with her until then. So about a week after that, Chris is charged. After his family goes missing, Chris is charged with first-degree murder. And he actually has a total of 9 charges. So he has 3 charges. Counts of first-degree murder.
Okay.
For the daughters and then Shenan. 2 extra first-degree murder charges because the victims, Bella and Cece, were under 12 years old. Mm. the another charge for unlawful termination of a pregnancy because Shanann was pregnant, and then 3 counts of tampering with the body because he had gotten rid of them.
So did they ever find out if Shanann was pregnant by Chris?
No, but I'm assuming that she was.
She was? Okay.
Yes, because I don't think they ever found anything with her being... That's a good question. I don't think they ever found anything of her having any other person in her life.
Okay.
Either to where it wouldn't have been his. You know gotcha. What I mean?
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, I don't think...
And did he know about it?
The
pregnancy?
Yes.
Okay.
She has a video. She actually put a video... You know, she's very active on Facebook. She actually put up a video of... Chris walking in, and I think she was wearing a shirt. I wish I wrote that down. It said something, and then he like read it, and he was like, "What?" And he's like, "We're pregnant again." And
he was excited.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Well, and who even knows? I'm like, "Geez." But yeah, and she was like, "Yeah," and he's like, "I hope." He was like, "Maybe a boy this time," because like they had 2 daughters, and like you know, it's like fun to have both. Like
yeah.
whatever. And so, and then you know, they named him Nico Lee. I mean, literally. They had a name for him, it was gender, everything.
Wow.
Yeah, so that is what happened on August 21st. You know, he was charged and everything, and it did not take long because, again, no other suspects. Like, nobody else is, like, in the picture of, like, oh, mysterious, they could have done something
okay.
to her.
Okay, I might have missed this part, but did you say previously that he ended up killing all 3, but or was it the wife that did?
So... Good point. So basically, they sentenced. No, I mean, I am not actually 100% sure when it happens, but basically, they charge him for all the murders because, like, on the 21st, because they're like, I mean, Shanann's now dead
yeah.
because he murdered her and he admitted to that. So no matter what, I mean, he did kill somebody.
Uh-huh.
And they later find out that he just literally, I mean, he confesses later. So I'll get to that too.
Okay.
But he can actually confesses later. When he's in prison, and that he killed them, but he blamed it on Shanann. I'm like,
okay.
Oh my
gosh. For what though?
Gosh.
She's dead. Like, what are you gonna do? Like, you're already
yeah,
in trouble.
He's trying to get out of it, but I'm like, for somebody who only loved you so much, who was carrying your 3rd child, who loved her kids, who was just working to like fix your guys' relationship, which she didn't even know was broken.
Mm-hmm.
And then you blame it on her?
Yeah.
What?
No, for what?
Like, oh my gosh. And so I'm like, maybe he's trying to use it as like a defense thing, but this man is not smart. He thinks he's so smart. Like, that's where I think the narcissistic personality comes in because
yeah.
I'm like, he thinks that he can say this stuff and people just believe it. I'm
mm-hmm.
like, what?
No.
Who are you? Anyway, so he pleads guilty on November 6th, 2018, to all of the 9 charges.
Okay.
Like, he doesn't even try to say not guilty. And
wow.
I'm like, that's kind of smart because, I
yeah.
mean, you're not. Where you're not guilty, but and then the family, Shanann's family, is very open about the fact that they want him to have the death like penalty.
Oh,
so the 19th December, I mean November 19th, he's sentenced to life in prison. So he has 5 life sentences, which I just love when they just rack up the life sentences. Like he will not even be surviving in 5 life sentences, but I just love when they do that because it just is amazing. Because I'm like, he's in there literally forever.
Yeah,
no possibility of parole. With 48 years, on top of 5 life sentences, with 48 years of extra because of the unlawful termination of the baby, and then 36 years of disposing of his family's body. So, I mean, this man's in there forever.
Yeah.
Literally. And I actually put a quote in from the judge from the trial, and he actually says in the documentary, his name is Judge Marcelo Kopkow, perhaps the most inhumane and vicious crime I have handled out of the thousands of cases that I have seen.
Why would he say that?
Why
would he say that?
The judge?
Yeah.
Because it's like when they sentence him, he's like, sir, this is the most horrible thing I've ever seen. A lot of times at the end of cases, judges like say stuff and because they don't speak this whole time. They're just there to like hear everything out. And at the end, if like this person's guilty, they're like, this is insane.
Because of the way he killed them
mm-hmm.
and stuff. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And that's just like another thing. I'm like, this man has seen so many cases and he said that?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, and I mean, I don't disagree.
So did it ever say in the report, like, how they died?
Yes. So.
Okay.
We're going to get to that right now, because let's get the real confession, and who even knows, but it seems to be real.
Yeah, seems
so,
real. Like, once he's in prison, you know, like, he's like, what do
I
got to lose?
You're
like,
done, so just tell us.
Yeah.
So this February 18th, 2019, he confesses to killing his daughters in an interview from prison, like I was saying. So that's when he officially was like, no, I actually killed them and Shanann.
He's in prison while he confesses this.
Yes.
Okay.
So, well, he's already charged for them anyways.
Yeah.
But, so from the Netflix documentary, this is what he's saying in the confession. So he heard Shanann come home at 2 a.m. From her business trip. She got home. I mean, they ended up having sex, and then they went to sleep. That's what he said.
Oh, okay.
Hello. Welcome back. Welcome back. So kind of just weird at 2 a.m., but okay. The next morning, Chris tells Shanann that he doesn't think their marriage is going to work. So it wasn't like 2 to 5 a.m. It's like they went to sleep and then woke up and had this talk. Mm-hmm. And that he didn't think it was going to work, doesn't love her anymore. And she knew that there was probably somebody involved. So then she starts to question him. And then Chris even says if Nikki weren't in the picture, he doesn't think his relationship would have ended like that. I'm like, oh my gosh. And that's hard to tell, but
yeah,
very weird. It would have happened at some point, I feel like. Chris said that Shanann told him that he will never see his kids again. Ugh. Because of the cheating thing and because of their fight and all the stuff. And then he puts his hands around her neck is kind of how he said it. And then a quote from Chris said, I felt like it was already something in my mind that was implanted. I was going to
kill her.
Yes. I was going to do it when I woke up that morning and it was going to happen and I had no control over it. Why couldn't I just let go?
Because you're insane. Like, what? Literally what?
The fact that he said that, that's like,
so
whether this
weird
girl, Nikki, was there or not, at some point, this man would have just flipped the switch. I mean, to me, it's like he completely shut off every sort of emotion. Because
I was just thinking, like, maybe it's a heat of the moment kind of crime, you know? He just got told, yeah, like, I'm going to tell this woman, you know, I don't love her, I don't really leave her. That's pretty normal. That right. happens in a lot of relationships. But then, like, the woman tells him that he's not going to, like, see his kids. And, like, that
can,
like, flip a switch for someone, you know, heat of the moment kind of crimes. Right. You hear about those.
Yeah, but, like, then he says that. That's when I was shocked I had to quote that because I was,
but
like,
he had already been thinking about this.
Literally, it's premeditated. And he just straight yeah. up confessed. And that's even worse in my mind. Well, duh, because I'm like, you straight up were thinking about it? He's yeah. like, I knew it was going to happen in the morning. What?
What?
I'm like, how do you in your mind even go there? Like, I,
yeah.
And this is why understanding why people do what they do is so interesting because I'm like, I would never. I mean, I don't think.
No, that just doesn't happen.
I guess, like, when he's out here being a narcissist, he doesn't think so either. But then, I mean, he's straight up thinking about it. So I don't know. And then one of the saddest things was whenever, so, like, just so everybody, you know, who's listening and just for you, Anissa, like, this gets kind of brutal. And so yeah. I always, you know, I think that it's going to be good to kind of warn people before we just, like, say stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
So next up, after I say this, it's going to be about the girls. And so I just want everybody to be aware. You can skip to the end, whatever. But it is going to get a little harsh. And so sometimes if I'm trying to make a joke out of it, it's just my way of coping. But I just wanted to put that out there as a warning. But one of the saddest things was when the interviewer asks, what was she doing? Like, in reference to, like, when he was choking her because he put his hands around her neck. So he strangled her to death.
Okay.
Shanann. And he... This was a sad, my heart literally broke. Like, interviewer asked, what was she doing? And he said, she wasn't fighting.
She wasn't fighting?
And to me, the reason it broke my heart is because I'm like, I wonder if she was just like, she loves him and trusts him so much. She's like, surely he's not going to kill me. Like, you probably, when you, you know what I mean? Yeah, like, she well, wasn't I mean, fighting.
You don't think that your spouse is going to kill you. Yeah. You, don't, like, you think you know a person.
Yeah.
But they're actually
like
insane.
Crazy that he's putting his hands around her neck and she's not fighting.
Yeah.
But still, I'm like, I wonder if she was just like, he's just angry. I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
But wasn't fighting. I just think that was the
craziest
thing in the world. Yeah. So basically, yeah. So after that, Bella, who's the oldest of the two, comes into the room and asks what was wrong with the mom. And I guess she was, like, facing, like, laying face down. And she wasn't, like, obviously moving and stuff. And so Bella, maybe they heard the commotion or whatever. But Bella, that's when she came in. And then the girls were still alive when Chris put them into the truck. And then Shanann's body was on the floor of the truck and with a sheet. Like, she was covered in a sheet.
Mm-hmm.
And the girls were, like, sitting with their mom on the floor of the truck.
What? Like, non-moving? Like,
yes.
They were just sitting with her?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
No.
And so they kept asking. He said that they kept asking, is mom okay? And he said, she'll be fine. Like, just like, it's okay. Like, still trying to comfort. And
yeah.
I'm like, this is where I'm like, what's yeah. going through his mind? Like, what's he thinking? Like,
mm-hmm.
is he like, oh, yeah, no, guys, fine. It's fine. Like,
it's fine.
Are
Mom's just taking a nap.
Yeah. I'm like, what? And so basically, so he we know that he ended up burying Shanann at the first site or whatever that he went to that day, which was like one of the oil tank like things. And so he drove there, and he said it's about a 45-minute to an hour drive to the location. And like he asked out loud, like in the interview, you like hear him say, quote, couldn't I have done something? Why did I do it? I don't know.
Explain that.
So he was like, the whole drive out there, 45 minutes to an hour, and he's like, couldn't I have just done, like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, why? I could have done something different.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, I could have done something different. And his girls are still alive. So, like, he didn't have, I mean, like, in the heat of the moment, what, I mean, it almost, again, would make more sense that right after he killed Shanann to kill the girls. But why are they still alive on this 45 minutes to an hour drive, and then you decide?
Maybe he was thinking, I could just take the girls now.
Yeah.
And just go.
Yeah. I mean, that's very good. That's a very good point.
Yeah.
So he got to location, and then he says that CC was first. That's how he says it. CC was first. Yeah. So he strangled CC with the blanket around her head. And then he said that she didn't struggle, like, at all. And she was 3. So that's sad. And then Bella asked what happened to CC. She's the older one. She's only like a year older, but she was like obviously kids are smart. They know what's going on at 4 years old. They're like, I mean, not like completely, but like they're like, I mean, they're what's going on? This is not normal.
Yeah.
And he said when he closes his eyes, he hears her say, like Bella say, "Daddy, no," and that was it. I hear that every day.
Bro, it's gonna haunt him forever.
So he strangled his whole family. Like, literally just, like, with his hands. Like, again, not even taking, like, a gun. I almost feel like sometimes that's even less brutal.
Yeah.
He strangled them with his bare hands till they weren't breathing. And then put the girls in an oil tank. And
why
then
did he put the girls in the oil tank?
I literally don't know. Literally have no idea.
Okay.
That's strange. So now we get to the motive. So that's what happened. This is that was the case. Okay. I mean, this is it. And so for more digging and everything, I just wanted to say a few things for some closure for myself and hopefully you guys, because wow.
I'm going to need some closure.
Yeah. So basically, right after Chris committed these crimes, they had in the police reports and all that stuff that he immediately, like that morning or whenever, like a few hours after he had committed the crimes and like buried them and all those things, he called the school and unenrolled the girls.
Unenrolled the girls from school?
Like, said they won't be coming back.
Oh, my goodness.
So, what? And then he looked into selling his house and started to, like, think about selling his house. And then started discussing his future with Nikki. So, this is what I think. Chris literally wanted to just completely remove everything from his old life. He was in so much debt. He...
Was he going to go out and change his name, run away with Nikki to a foreign country? What does he think he's going to do?
Not a solid plan, but he wanted, in my mind, and what a lot of other people who have investigated this case think, is that he literally just wanted to, like, get rid of his old life, literally, and just move on with this new girl.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, he just was going to give everything up for that.
So, okay, backtracking.
Yes.
So, this happened. So, she gets home at 2 a.m., wakes up, dies, or the kids die. He goes to bury them. And, like, the other Nikki, the best friend, she was supposed to be at a doctor's appointment that day.
Yeah.
So he's, like, enrolling the girls, planning this whole feature, and all this time.
Yeah.
And then Nikki starts getting suspect. And then, like, this is all happening while Nikki notices that her friend's missing.
Yes.
Okay. Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. So that, isn't that crazy? Like, while she's frantically on the phone, calling people, calling her parents, like,
and
all
Chris
these things.
Chris is like, all right, time to get going to the next thing.
He's literally, I'm like, I wonder if when he was watching the video, maybe he was texting about his future with Nikki.
Maybe.
Like, that's crazy. And so that, to me, feels like it's a solid, like, not solid, because I don't believe or understand or get it or whatever, but, like, that would be a good reason to why that happened. Not a good reason. I hate how I said that.
Yeah, but, like, a reason to, like, a motive to do it. But
yes.
On the other hand, you know, not normal people, like, it's sad to say that this happened, mm-hmm. but, like, most people, you know, just leave. They just leave.
And
like,
that's literally...
You don't need to kill someone.
Literally, that is what I have. I said, in my opinion, he literally... First of all, okay, so... yes, most people... because they're sane, they just get a divorce.
Yeah.
I mean, straight up just leave your family. Just leave. Just straight up leave. No trace. I mean, literally, if that's what you go at, that is way better than taking lives of innocent people who love you, like, trust you so much that they didn't even struggle.
Taking out of the fact that they have feelings and love and, like, this is your family, you don't need to kill someone.
No. In general, you guys, if you don't believe me, I don't care. That's my opinion. Don't kill people.
Don't kill people.
I mean, if you don't believe
me. Fact one, don't kill people.
Like, what? Literally what? And so I literally said, in my opinion, I was like, okay, he literally could have gotten a divorce. He could have just straight up left. And then the thing that I just don't understand that I'm just so stuck on is he had 45 minutes to an hour to not kill his daughters. He had 45 minutes to an hour of that drive to be like, okay, what's done is done. Yes, yep. He's a horrible person. Mm-hmm. 100%, go to jail, die. But his daughters didn't need it. I'm still confused. And so basically I looked up this thing, and obviously he's not very like rational, and he's not thinking, and he's narcissistic, and but I found this article citing the work of Dr. Neil Websdale. Mm-hmm. And he talks about family annihilators, which I didn't really know much about these, but it's basically most of the time men in their like 30s ish who kill their families because there's some sort of like trigger. So it's like because of the financial problems, like they try to kill their families because they think it's better off for them, and then they typically do kill themselves.
Okay.
So it's like they're freeing them of whatever this big problem is or something is in their mind. You know, obviously these people are like sick, like they're probably, you know, that's not rational.
Yeah.
But they then kill themselves. And this guy was saying that he sees a lot of the same things in Chris, but because he was a narcissistic, like personality and all those things, that he was like, it's interesting because he didn't kill himself, but he
Chris is ready to move on with the rest of his life.
Yes, but he has like this thing where it's like, it's very similar to family annihilators, but he didn't commit suicide after killing his family. So it comes in, and then they start to come in with the antisocial personality disorder where, and none of this has been like diagnosed or like anything, but it's like this is his like idea from his work and stuff that he's done. And he said that after Shanann had threatened Chris to take the kids away, there was like this level of like rage that just stirred in him and caused him to kill his family. And it's almost like he was like, oh, you want to take the kids away from me? I'll take them away from you.
Yeah.
So had a rage, killed her, and then was like, I'm taking the kids away from you.
Mm-hmm.
Again, not logical. I don't understand that.
Because you would think if he was going to say that, he would have killed the kids first, like in front of her.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But, I mean, that could be in some weird way another thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, basically, Chris now is in – he was moved from Colorado for, it said, in a thing, security reasons. Didn't really give you much. But he's now in Dodge Correctional Institution in – I don't know how to say this. Wappun, Wisconsin?
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. And that's like the cheese state, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I just thought about that.
It's the cheese state.
I love cheese, man.
I only
man.
Know that because of Sunny with a Chance from Disney Channel.
Yay! That's amazing. I have not thought about that show in years. But yeah, so basically he's on a lockdown for 23 days or 23 hours a day. So this man, he's more social contact.
No.
He's doing that for life. I mean, go ahead. That's fine.
I mean, you reap what you sow.
Yeah, so he didn't get the death penalty, but, you know, sometimes the reason that we have this, you know, the prison and, like, jail and all that stuff set in place, I mean, that's your punishment. So, to me, that feels like a pretty good punishment.
No,
it's maximum security prison. Like, this man's not smart enough to get out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe mock my words, but I mean, I don't think it. You know how people escape and stuff? I'm like, I doubt it.
I don't think it.
And 23 hours a day on lockdown. Like, you get what you get.
Mm-hmm.
So, that is the whole case. It's a doozy and very horrific and the saddest thing in the entire world.
That is really sad.
But it shows a lot about somebody how, I mean, everybody saw him as this, like, chill, not super talkative, like, just, like, down to clown guy, like not super drawing a lot of attention to himself, not so it's all of a sudden it's like just feels like he just made up his mind that he just wants a different life and he just went for it. I mean, it happened kind of over like a month or so, but still, I mean, just for that to happen so quickly is insane.
I was interested to see like if he got diagnosed with any type of psychotic disorder that may explain just a little bit more about like why he would just not just leave, but right. He used to kill people.
And a lot of times I feel like, you know, they do those psychological, like, testing, like, for if they're sane and, you know, to prove, like, because that would get him a different charge, you know, like, if he's insane, like, that changes things. But, I mean, it never said anything about that, and so I'm assuming that things were normal, but he's literally just a psychopath.
Yeah.
So, that's crazy.
That is crazy. That's insane.
Well, that is it, guys. Wow. I don't even know how to end our first podcast. That's just straight up crazy. But we are gonna just keep on doing this thing.
Keep on doing it.
Yeah, and Anissa's gonna take over next time.
Oh boy,
so can't wait. Super excited.
Hope you guys enjoy that, even though it was like probably super cringy the first time.
I know.
We tried.
I hear podcasts are an evolution, and so you learn it as you go. So bear with us, and our number one fans and our true followers will be seen in to come. I don't know.
Seen to come.
We will know who you are.
We will know who you are when you come.
That's all right, you guys. So I hope that your glass of wine is finished and that you...
Maybe you might need another one after that story. I don't know, buddy.
Go ahead. No judgment. Honestly, I might need one too. So hope you guys enjoyed and we will talk to you next time. Bye.
Bye.